You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Biden signed an executive order to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement and is planning on calling out climate change offenders in a name and shame plan. Do you think this approach towards climate change will be effective to call out countries that are failing to meet the standards?
Yeah, I think it will, because what America is trying to do is not just, I mean, yes, it has to name and shame, but they are going to try and use their weight as a big superpower in terms of economic trading to encourage anyone who wants to trade with the US to make significant changes on carbon emissions at home. So how they're going to do that is that they've signalled that they are going to impose quotas, a cap on, or some other kind of fee on anyone who's trying to sell goods into America that are carbon intensive. And that's going to mean that New Zealand is going to have to move quite fast if we want to continue to trade with America in order to try and match the kinds of standards that they're going to be imposing on their own goods and services. It's going to be a really big effect, and I don't think many people understand that. There's kind of a smug assumption, if I can be really frank, that, oh, well, we've always got on well with America and we're a lovely little green country and everyone likes us. Actually, no. You know, we are very, very slow to act on climate, as people are starting to realise. And because former President Trump set the bar so low, it made everybody look good without even doing anything. So I think even Biden, who is a centrist essentially on these issues, is going to be a huge step beyond where New Zealand is at. And with Kamala Harris being very determined to focus on climate, and John Kerry, who's an extremely experienced international ambassador, this is going to actually start putting a lot of pressure on countries like New Zealand. We saw even just last year when Britain left New Zealand out of the High Ambition Summit because we weren't doing any real commitments to climate change, so we weren't involved in some major talks around climate, that people were going, oh, well, it doesn't really matter, you know. Actually, it will matter now, because if America is at the table and we're not, we're missing out on trade opportunities, we're missing out on new technology. So there will be a lot of pressure on New Zealand now to really start walking the talk and not just calling a climate emergency and talking about how we're going to plant forests, but actually say, what are we doing for our transport? How are we reducing climate emissions in our building? What are we doing for our agricultural methane emissions that is fair and comparable to other countries? So it's going to make quite a big difference, I think.
Yes, so a lot of the problems seem to be about finances, and is it actually viable to ask people to switch to more green options when they can't seem to afford it? And I know in the States, a lot of the big companies that are involved in the gas emissions and a lot of things that are harming the environment are invested directly within a lot of the senators in the States. So how can we separate all of this and promote people on the ground to switch over to greener options and like make it more possible to kind of change the climate situation?
Well, one of the problems with focusing on what we as individuals can do is that a lot of people are what we call locked into lifestyles that are really unsustainable because maybe they don't have a bus system that runs regularly and is affordable that's near them. Or as you say, they just simply can't afford to get their windows double glazed, or they can't afford to get new kinds of insulation that would reduce their amount of energy. And anyway, a lot of our energy is already electric. So what we actually need to do is we need governments to regulate. We are very big in talking in New Zealand about, oh, how can we invest in these areas? Actually, the question is, how can we regulate? And one of the things to learn from what happened under the Trump administration was the removal of regulations is a real problem. And we've seen a similar example actually in New Zealand. A really small example, but it was very significant, was a former leader of the ACT Party, Rodney Hyde, when he had an opportunity at in the early 2000s, he systematically removed the word sustainability from all New Zealand legislation. And so it stopped being a goal for New Zealand to be sustainable in everything from agriculture to the way in which we teach. All sorts of areas had the word removed. Now, it sounds like nothing, but it meant that we really kind of lost our way in terms of actually thinking about how we renew and regenerate and create in every decision we make all across our public service. So those kind of decisions about actually regulating what we do, imposing taxes, imposing controls and restrictions, they're going to be the really challenging things for this government to do. And to do that, they are going to need public support. If we look at the lack of public support that the government felt it had for the housing, say for the capital gains tax, we don't want that to happen again for climate. So it is really important that as citizens, it's not so much, yes, of course it matters that we save, try and bicycle to work or whatever we're trying to do. That individual action matters. But what we really need to do is to press and support the government to actually impose regulations, because as you say, there are very strong industries and interests who benefit financially from not having any regulation on them. So it's time for citizens to really say, actually, we want something fairer. And I think Kamala Harris in the States is a really good example. She has been extremely strong on the lobbying power of the oil and gas industry. And they've already indicated that they hope to ban oil and gas new leases on all federal lands. Now, if they achieve that, it will be extraordinary. But she's very upfront about what you're talking about the way in which the oil and gas industry is so tightly bound into government. Now, in Norway, it's the coal industry, and in New Zealand, it's agriculture, but also some of our transport agencies and some of our building companies are very tightly bound to government and have very strong lobby groups and very strong voices that don't necessarily represent the whole industry, but they are there to try and maximise profit for that particular sector. So citizens, we have to be very clear about why we think it's fair to impose regulations that protect the climate and create a safer future for everyone.
That was Professor of Political Science and International Relations at the University of Canterbury, Bronwyn Hayward, who talked about how Biden's new climate change action may affect New Zealand's as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.